Welcome to the Friar Phil Show. We're back again. Yeah, you thought you got rid of me for a couple of weeks, but I had to do some things that involved medical procedures. Nothing too bad, just an angio to fix a vein that was clogged up, but everything is flowing now, so that's good. Today I invited Matt back on from Friar Talk, and I want to talk to him a little bit about Bob Melvin and today's game. I also want to talk about these rumors that are going around about who AJ Preller might or might not pick up By the time it's the trade deadline, which is coming up pretty soon. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. Getting ready for the trade deadline. Real excited for it, especially the way the Padres have been playing lately. We can definitely all tell that there needs to be some moves made, and there's definitely a lot of guys that the Padres have been linked to. So I'm looking forward to the deadline. Looking forward to what this team looks like after August 2nd.
I am too, and I'm hoping he'll do something more than last year, because you remember last year the excuse was, well, we don't really need any pitching, and what was the problem? Pitching, maybe? So this year, I'm hoping AJ Preller will go out and do the best he can with the funds that he has. But we're going to talk about some of the trade rumors coming up. I wanted to ask you first. Well, let's start. First of all, you've got some good news for your program.
Yeah, so our program's doing a little bit of an expansion. We're starting a larger network called America's Finest Sports. So it's a San Diego based company, but like, or not a company, but it's a San Diego based like media group. We got other San Diego media members, and also some NFL, NBA, different people that are covering different sports. So we'll be covering the Padres, the Chargers, even though they're in LA, just because a lot of people from San Diego are still fans of the team. We'll also have NFL show, San Diego State show, NBA show. We'll talk about the MLB. We'll talk about fantasy football as well. And then we're hoping to add like teams like the Goals and the Wave and stuff like that. So hoping to eventually add some more San Diego media stuff on, but excited to be working with some other people on this project. So
yeah, that'll be especially fun during the weekends, because our local sports station, I don't know about the other one, but I'm just talking about 97.3 The Fan, doesn't offer any local weekend programming at all. So it'll be good to have a collective of different podcast and broadcast that we can select from based on which sport we're interested in that particular day. So good. Congratulations. I'm really happy for you guys. And next, I want to ask you, did you hear Bob Melvin's press conference today after the ball game?
So I didn't listen to it, but I saw a few quotes about it. Also saw a Taylor Rogers quote as well. But what specifically are you thinking about here? Just the overall situation on the closer?
Well, the overall situation on the closer and the reaction of so many people, yeah, on the comments from his press conference, you know, is saying basically the same thing. You know, you've seen this guy imploding and going down. Something's wrong with him. Why do you put him in there? Why did you put him in there today with a 3-2 game, you know, especially with those runners on second that we have to endure again this season? Now, how could you put this guy? And again, why didn't you put in Martinez? Martinez wasn't available. Oh, bullshit. And I just wanted to see what your thoughts were on that, you know, with him putting in Taylor Rogers again and basically blowing another save and blowing another ball game and giving us another notch down behind the Dodgers, because the Dodgers won, I think it was 7-0 today against Washington. So what do you think about that, Matt?
So for what Bob Melvin said, like, I think it was just a bad move from him today. Even based on the comments, I still am expecting them to toss other guys out there relatively soon. I still think that we'll see Rogers out there at times, but I think that they should take a closer by committee role. I think there's a lot of benefits to that. Now, I know a lot of people aren't fans of closer by the committee because they really want like a guy that can like kind of be like your lockdown guy in the ninth. But
well, yeah, they want another Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah, exactly. Or even a Heath Bell when he was really good here. But the Padres just don't have a guy like that in the pen, and I think that's okay. I don't think you have to have a guy like that in your bullpen to have a great bullpen. But if you don't, there's not really a benefit of throwing one guy out there all the time, even when he's struggling, even when there's a guy like you said, Nick Martinez. But even Garcia, he's allowed a lot of runners on base, but his ERA is not very high over like his last like 7 games and also like his last 30 games. He's actually had really solid numbers, and his overall FIP isn't that bad. So even though they're a little bit stressful, he's been a better option as of late. Martinez has been a better option. Mora Hone's been a better option. So it's just tough when you see them lose a game like this where you just felt like, yeah, Rogers coming into this one is like, you can just feel that it's not a safe lead, a one-run lead in this one, and then they end up blowing it. So I really hope they go to closer by committee, but I mean, I don't know. I get why, like, how, like, what Bob Melvin is saying, just because, like, they want to have, like, faith in their guys, but it's just, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're really trying to win games.
Well, today's press conference reminded me of Jace Tingler a little bit. Every time the team would screw up, he'd get on there and he'd say, well, they battled hard. They always battled, but they didn't win. The other thing you got to shake your finger at now, if you're prone to shaking your finger at the Padres when they lose, is the offense of this team. It only gave Taylor Rogers 3 runs to work with. Scoring opportunities again this game. Certainly yesterday there were scoring opportunities, and we won that by the luck of the gods, I think. But what do you think about this anemic offense that we have? Is it just that they're bad hitters, or are they going up there and trying too hard to hit home runs and not play small ball and get those singles when they need it? What do you think, Matt?
So I actually think their offense has been, honestly, like over the course of the season, I'm going to look up some overall team stats right now as we talk, but I felt like they've been a little bit better than I expected, honestly. I wasn't expecting much from the offense until Tatis was back and until some moves were made for. Initially, when the season started, I was hoping that they would make some moves a little bit closer or a little bit farther away from the deadline a little earlier on. They haven't done that. Now, I do think that they're going to make moves, but I mean, the team overall is 26th in home runs. Let's see what their on base is. It was pretty high early on in the year. On base is 13th. Let's see what their overall runs are. Just getting a gauge of where they're at. 15th. So, like, being in the middle of the pack and 15th in runs, I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed that more of their stats would be, like, where their home runs are at 26th in the league. Mm-hmm. Now, they clearly need some upgrades. I don't think it's a. I actually think they've been kind of putting a little bit more small ball in play as the season's gone on, as they've seen how much like they lack offense. And I think that's the reason why they're 15th in runs. Like they're not good enough to be 15th in runs. Like they've been overperforming, which is a scary thought when you're like, oh, this offense sucks, because you see that they're not good, but when you realize that they're overperforming in terms of their actual output, their actual run output. So I definitely think that they need to add at least one or two bats. Soto is, of course, the guy that everyone wants. I would love for them to add Juan Soto. However, the price is going to be huge, and it's at this point, it's just rumors. You know, we haven't seen the deal materialize, so we got to wait a little bit on that. If they don't land Soto, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think they can make this team a lot better by adding a couple smaller bats. I mean, Contreras has been linked. I don't love the idea of the Contreras deals that have kind of been mocked up, but I like the idea of adding Ian Happ. I like the idea of adding Josh Bell. For the bullpen that we were talking about earlier, there's a bunch of right-handed relievers that the Padres could go after. It's kind of just depends which teams are, you know, wanting however much, because a lot of these guys are going to give you similar production. So right. I think this offense can be changed a lot at the deadline.
And I think the biggest hole in the offense is the outfield. And kind of where Grisham stands, you know. So it would be good to have a Soto out there. But like you said, you know, the price is going to be astronomical. And I don't know if Peter is going to want to put up that kind of money for just one superstar player. Because we've seen in the past, we've had superstar players and we paid a lot of money for them, and one gets injured all the time, and who's fixing to come back, not mentioning any names, Tatis. But sometimes, you know, it doesn't work out for the Padres when they get these big names. But one by one, let's go over them, though, with the Soto trade. And Soto, it's obvious why people want him. Why would you want him on our team?
His numbers resemble a modern day like Ted Williams. That's the level of numbers he's putting up. I'm not saying he's gonna have the career that Ted Williams has have, but had. But he's flashing that potential right now. So I really like the idea of adding him. I think that'd be out of like all the additions that you can make, that's like probably the best guy you can add, because he's 23 years old. Now this is assuming that you're gonna re-sign him. And we don't know that when the deal's made. So that's kind of assuming that you re-sign him. If you can't re-sign him, I still think you can make the case for a few years of him being really good, but it's definitely not worth it. but if you can re-sign him, I mean, having a guy like this paired with Tatis, paired with Machado for many years to come is the perfect way to kind of turn San Diego into one of the marquee baseball cities in the U.S., and I think that, you know, there's a lot of concerns about, oh, can you afford him and stuff? I think the money that Juan Soto will bring back to this team, and especially Juan Soto paired with Tatis as, like, the faces of the franchise, if they're able to win, even not win a World Series, but start making the playoffs consistently, which they absolutely should, they'll go into the luxury tax each year, and it'll definitely be worth it for them. The TV deals will go up, like a lot of the profits that this team will be able to make, even going into the luxury tax, will start to rise. So I think it makes a lot of sense for them to do it. I think that it will kind of give it'll add a huge spark to the Padres. And I think even if they add Juan Soto, I still think they can go and make a couple other moves. And also, we bring up Juan Soto, there's a very good chance that it could be a Juan Soto and Josh Bell deal, which would be absolutely huge for the Padres' offense.
Oh, yeah.
That anemic offense that we've seen, all of a sudden you're adding two elite hitters. Now, Josh Bell is not the level of Juan Soto, but you're adding a guy in Juan Soto that I think a lot of people think is the best hitter in the game, probably not named Mike Trout. And then you're also adding Josh Bell, who's just been sweet for the last few years, and actually as the defensive first baseman has been a lot better recently. So he could be a guy that you could see at first base a lot as well. So I love the idea of that deal. That'd be my top one. I also like Ian Happ a lot. But there's a lot of outfield options. But, man, Juan Soto is definitely the top name on the list.
Anybody else that's floating out there now that you know is going to be a free agent or possibly signable if we can't get Soto? That's outfielders primarily?
Yeah, so Ramon Laureano is a guy. He has some control on the A's, but they could be willing to trade him. Ian Happ, he has 1 year left on his deal, but they could be willing to trade him. a guy the Padres recently got linked to, which would be, it sounds kind of weird, but would be Xander Bogaerts. And I think the idea would be to have Tatis play the outfield in DH this year, before, just because he's, you know, been injured and stuff, and they don't really want him falling on his wrist as much. And basically putting Bogaerts in the middle infield and improving your team that way, which would, I mean, in terms of a lineup upgrade, that would be actually like really huge. But it would be interesting to see if they would trade him, because he's on the last year of his deal. Really weird stuff, but I find it intriguing. So those are the kind of guys I think could be added to fix the outfield a little bit. I also, in our, we did a stream today, and a lot of people were bringing up, or maybe it wasn't on a stream, maybe it was on Twitter, but saw some people bringing up potentially Jock Peterson on the Giants if the Giants decide to sell, which I don't think they were, but I mean, I would love Jock Peterson, but also you can get Jock Peterson in this offseason for a few million dollars, and that would be a great move. They should have done it last year. I think they should do it again this year, especially if well, since Myers is going to be gone, and also if Profar was to opt out, you could add an outfielder like him, and you could have a lot better offense as well. So.
True. I like Jock down with us, but I got a feeling he'll stay with the Giants for a while because he's from the Bay Area. He grew up with the Giants as his team, so he may just stay planted. But then again, you never know what money's going to do for people and what convinces them to do. You know, the right money will make me move to god-awful places in this country if it's the right amount of money. Contreras, Willie Contreras in Chicago, what are your thoughts about him?
So, I don't really like the idea of adding him as a catcher. And he's also been the guy that's probably been linked just as much as Soto, if not more. He's been brought up as potentially being a Padre so much. The reason I don't like him as a catcher is because it seems like if there's going to be a trade made, it would be Wilson Contreras for Jorge Alfaro. Like, not just straight up, but based around that in some capacity. And the Padres would probably still give up prospects. I think that's it's an upgrade for sure, but I think that you should be trying to upgrade your bullpen. You should be trying to upgrade center field, and you should be trying to upgrade first base a lot more than your catcher spot.
Yeah.
It's also very difficult for pitchers. I mean, at least from my understanding, it's pretty difficult for pitchers to basically adjust to having a new catcher and kind of mesh with them and build chemistry over a back half of the season. He's also making a lot of money. It would put you into the luxury tax. And the Padres apparently don't want to be in the luxury tax. And there is penalties for doing that. So I'm not super against it if they're willing to go into it next year and they're having this year be a buffer year to pay less penalties. But I don't love it. I don't think it's a big enough upgrade for me for, one, his price, and also just your lack of flexibility at the deadline, where, like, that would be a guy that would be eating up a lot of your capital.
Yeah, seems like he would. Like I said at the beginning of the program, I have been busy the last couple of weeks with various things around the house and medical stuff. So I haven't been paying really all the attention I should have to all the rumors that are out there about what the Padres may do with the particular players that are available. Are there any others you can tell us about? And by the way, in the background, I'm not doing a remote broadcast. This is the neighbors with big mouths who won't shut the fuck up when I'm doing this. I've got the windows and the door closed, and you still hear them in the background. So apologies to the listeners for that.
Oh, no worries. It's not too loud on our end. So outside of that, I think Pablo Lopez is a pitcher that got brought up. I know the Padres don't need a starter, but he's a guy with a lot of controls, really good. Kind of similar, like, I mean, Sandy Alcantara, who's probably going to win, he may win the Cy Young this year. He was available last year, same kind of situation with the Marlins, and our show was big on trying to pounce on him and even paying a pretty premium with prospect capital to go get him. The Padres could do that and then flip one of their starters for another bat, whether that be a guy that makes a little bit of money like a Blake Snell, or I don't know who you'd want to trade, but you could move a guy and then go and get Pablo Lopez for a couple years longer. You'd probably end up losing prospect capital or overall capital overall, like, to acquire him, just because it's going to cost a lot. But he's a great pitcher, so you'd have another arm for the future. And he's apparently available, which is really interesting.
Oh, that's good.
Another guy that I think we can talk about getting rumored to the Padres, especially if they don't add Juan Soto and want to add a corner outfielder. This one's kind of unfortunate, but we definitely have to bring up Joey Gallo because he's been struggling so immensely with the Yankees. I don't really think it's going to work out there. He's going to be a free agent after the season, and it would cost pretty much nothing to get him, and the Yankees would probably eat most of his contract. It might be worth it for the Padres to go and just try to buy low if they're gonna if he was gonna replace like Myers in a platoon in the outfield next year. He hasn't been good at all in the Yankees, but on the Rangers he was a really solid player. Even though he is deficient and strikes out a lot, he's a guy that you could put in like the 8 or the 9 spot and try to just like not even every day, but like platoon him in like the 8 and the 9 spot, and use him for half a year. But I don't really like the idea that much of adding him. There's so many guys I'd rather have, but I don't think it would like cost almost anything for the Padres to do it. And then if he looks good, I guess you did a good job buying low for a guy in this case.
Yeah,
but I don't really love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm thinking about the Tigers who we just lost to today. About teams like theirs that are really at the bottom of the cellar, and I wonder if they are going to be having a sale. Take these guys and give us some new ones sale. Do you think the Tigers would be doing something like that?
Yeah, apparently the Tigers, it came out that they'd be willing to trade a lot of their pieces. They were a team that basically was like, they're willing to move a lot of guys. So I do think it is. And that's a team that we could definitely, the Padres could definitely go and target a couple bullpen options there. A couple guys we actually saw in the series, too.
Yeah, they had some pretty good pitching. So I just wonder why they're way at the bottom. But then again, they were playing the Padres, so that's why they looked real good. I know that's real cynical, but that, you know, after so many years of promises, you know, we're going to get this one, we're going to get that one, we're going to improve, we're going to have Tatis, we've got Manny Machado now, and all these promises, you know, but nothing falls through for the Padres. So I'm hoping this year and at this trade deadline that something falls into place where we can actually have a chance, you know?
Yeah, I think that there will be. I mean, I think if the Padres add a good right-handed reliever, the Padres have a lot of guys that are getting close to graduating, so you trade someone that's maybe not the best, but they're close to graduating, and you go get a right-handed reliever for him, that could be a huge add for this team. Like, if you can do that, and then Rodgers isn't locked into that ninth-inning role, and you have, like, a legit closer, that could be so huge. If you just do that, and you just add a solid bat, like let's say Josh Bell. You don't get Juan Soto, but you get Josh Bell for a little bit. Just adding those two guys, would help so much. And then you're also getting Tatis back. I don't only want them to do that. I would like them to upgrade probably two spots. I don't know how it would work, but I don't know. I'd rather them upgrade the outfield. But I think doing that and just getting a right-handed bullpen arm would go a long way. I hope that they're able to do more. I hope that they're able to work around the luxury tax a little bit better than I kind of have in mind, like that I think they're going to be able to do. But I don't know. I think that adding just a couple pieces still puts them in such a better spot. And we also have to remember that Tatis was a 7 WAR player last year. And if over the next couple months he's able to kind of regain form, this team's going to look a lot better come playoff time. Like, they're going to look so much better. There's also so many bullpen guys that are hurt right now. I'm not banking on all of them to come back, but even one or two of them to come back would be a big boost.
Yeah. Pomerantz, I think, is getting close to coming back, if I'm not mistaken. There are some of them that I don't want traded, though. Cronenworth, I don't want him to be traded. And Kim. I've grown really fond of Kim, basically watching him come to the Padres from the Korean League. And, you know, not being familiar with American pitchers and the speed and the velocity and everything else. And he worked hard last year. to try and learn it, and he's done spectacular again this year. His bat may not show it, but some of the defensive plays he makes is fantastic. And I think it's important we keep somebody that's a good backup shortstop just in case. Not to say that anything will happen to Tatis, you know, the rest of the season, but I think it's good to have a backup. Who do you not want traded from the Padres?
So, in my opinion, now let's say this is the only guy. Okay, the only guy I don't think really makes sense and shouldn't be talked about in trade discussions for Juan Soto is Jake Cronenworth. I think I wouldn't mind what the prospect cap was to get him. I think you're going to have to give up a lot, and I think it's worth it for the Padres. But if we're talking about guys not named Juan Soto, I definitely don't want CJ Abrams traded. I know CJ has struggled a lot early on, but there are other guys that profile similar to him at shortstop, at middle infield, that took until year three to really gain that power in their swing and start hitting a little bit more home runs and start really adjusting to major league pitching. He's also super young, and I think a lot of people are feeling like he hasn't been that good and it's time to give up on him, but I still think he's a budding star, even though he hasn't looked that like super good lately.
Oh, he's absolutely.
Super raw. So he's
young, like you said. He's a young man.
20 or 21.
No, wasn't he like 18 or 19?
When they drafted him, he was only 18. He might have been only 17, actually. And also, another thing with him, he had his development stunted. They didn't even have a year of minor league baseball when he got drafted. Right, so that's
like
another
85 another games or something in the minor leagues or something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very few at bats. So he has barely any experience. And the fact that he's hitting, what is it, over 230 right now in the bigs is kind of impressive in its own. Just when you look at how the little amount of experience. Keep in mind, this is a guy that came out of high school. Comes out of high school. Let's see. Oh, I don't have him on here. Let me find him. I want to see how old he is.
Well, it's like somebody working for a company for like 6 or 7 months and then being offered the CEO position. It just doesn't work that way. And
they said,
I agree, he needs more time in the minor leagues to hone in his skills and to get to be a better player. Not that we couldn't use him up here, you know, if it came to that again, you know, we needed him up here as a backup or to replace somebody, but I think the kid is better off down there.
Yeah, he actually has been quite a bit better lately. Like, let's see, over his last 30 games, he's hit .277 with a not a very high OPS, but a 664 OPS, so not very good. But lately, his slugging has gone up. Recently, he hit a home run not that long ago in one of his recent games against Colorado. And he's only 21. Another thing is, you brought up the minor league at bats. So yeah, I mean, we're talking about how young he is. I'm also not against him going down. I think it makes sense, but I also think he is starting to contribute a little bit more. But when you have Tatis there at short, there's not really a spot for him. So I think there's a chance that they actually could trade Kim. I really like Kim too, don't get me wrong. But if they add a first baseman, or they add like a DH first baseman type, or if Myers is playing first base, they have a lot of guys in that kind of spot, in that position. I think that they would potentially move him to keep CJ up and to have Cronenworth not kick over the first base ever. Because he's already doing that right now in a lot of, like, late in a lot of games. But, I mean, CJ came up, he's 21, 452 minor league at bats, never played college ball. So the fact that he's starting to see major league pitching, to me, I don't know if I want him sent down, even though I think it's kind of tough to have a spot for him.
I don't know. It's just something that he's that young and he was able to hit major league pitching. to begin with. I give him credit for that as well. And yeah, if Kim has to be traded, it'll be a bummer. But it was also a bummer, you know, when they traded Franmil Reyes and what's his name? He went with Franmil to Cleveland, and he's doing Josh Nader.
Oh yeah,
Josh Naylor. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
look at how good he's doing now.
Yeah, he's doing great. No, yeah, I don't really want to, like, the two guys on this team right now are probably Jorge Alfaro and Ha-Seong Kim are like the fan favorites, you know, the guys that we all really, really get excited for. So that's why it's always tough when you talk about trading one of those guys. And also because it's just like they're like the spark plugs. I mean, even Machado said that about Kim, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we might have to lose him. But like you said, if it does some good for this team where we get a bat, we get something better in the outfield, if it improves what we're doing as we get closer and closer to October, you just have to swallow it. Because that's, like Bud Black says, that's baseball, you know?
Yeah.
That's baseball. And like Tom Hanks said, there's no crying in baseball. All right, let's see. What else is on the agenda? We're talking about the potential trade chips AJ Preller could go after and some of the rumors. Did we miss any rumors so far?
I don't think so. I think those are the main ones that I've seen so far.
Anything concrete coming out or just, you know, guesses by reporters?
Those are the ones I've heard is like Soto, Contreras, and Gallo, really.
It's funny. I didn't hear the Gallo one, but yeah, I believe you heard it. But like I said, I've been out of the loop the last 2 weeks and stuff. So overall, how do you think the club's doing?
I think they're doing all right so far. I mean, there's definitely areas where they need to improve. But I think that, you know, we look at the strengths, we look at the weaknesses. There's a couple stars in this lineup. We don't have one of the stars right now. Padres are still sitting 10 games over 500. And they are 3 games over in the second wild card spot. The schedule is about to get light. You're about to get Tatis back. You're about to hopefully make some trades. They need to make some really soon. But you have the Twins. You got 5 games against the Rockies. Now, the Padres have struggled against the Rockies, but that's usually at Coors Field. So you got to take advantage of playing a crappy team like the Rockies. And then in the middle of that Rockies series is a trade deadline during a Padres doubleheader day. So August 2nd is going to be a sick baseball day. Especially if you're a Padres fan, and hopefully if AJ Preller makes some moves, that could be a really exciting day for everyone. Then you got Dodgers, Giants, and then it gets light for a little bit. You got Nationals, Marlins, Nationals, Guardians, Royals to close out August, and then you play the Giants a ton in September to kind of win that wild card spot. So if they get the right guys, I mean, they're going to be in a really good spot, and the rotation's still healthy. The rotation is looking good. The rotation's honestly just been getting better. I know Mackenzie Gore was struggling and now is injured, but if we're looking at the rotation right now, the only guy that's been struggling has been Manaea. Musgrove has had a couple bumps, but I'm not concerned about him at all. He's looked solid over the course of the season. Darvish has looked great. Clev has looked great. Snell has looked really good lately. In his last few outings, he's kind of looking like he's going to turn into the second half Snell that has a career 2.8 ERA compared to his 4.1 first half ERA. So he's a guy that always gets better in the second half, and it's starting to look like he's doing that again. So this rotation can definitely carry this team, and if you get some pop on offense, that'll go a long way, as well as a bullpen arm to shore up the back end.
You brought up Musgrove. Do you think they're dragging their feet with signing him?
Yeah, I kind of do. I'm worried about what that's going to look like. It seems like they expect it to get done, but I'm kind of concerned that it hasn't gotten done. And if he is able to test free agency, he's going to end up getting a lot.
Yeah. And I want that guy to stay. You know, he's he's not a Tony Gwynn, but in some ways he is. He went to Grossmont High School. He's local. You know, he loves San Diego. His family is here. He grew up a Padres fan, and now he's playing for the Padres. It's just such a good fit.
Yeah.
I hope we don't let money get in the way of you know, having another person in this generation like that, that we can call our own.
No, I think everyone really wants him back. I think if he leaves, that would be Padres fans would be very upset about that. And if he didn't, like, oh my, I couldn't. Yeah, I don't know. I would be shocked if they don't bring him back. Because even though they've been, I do think they've been dragging their feet, but they have to get it done with him.
And they got to get it done quick. I think, you know, they've had enough time to piddle around with it. Now they need to just do it and make sure he's here for a while. Let's shift gears now and talk about your program again. We should have done this at the beginning of the program. My bad. Because folks might not have heard the other program that you were on with Isaac back in May. So could you just tell us a little bit about your program, how it started, and some of the basic biographical information about your program?
Yeah. So the Padres show that we do is Friar Talk, which is a Padres show that's about, it plays about 5 to 7 times a week typically. We do series recaps for each series, and talk about different stuff like the trades, you know, how like evaluating the team, evaluating the prospects. So a lot of content, a lot of stuff to just really, you know, explain what's going on, what we kind of think the Padres should do. And honestly, we've been doing it for, this is the second season on YouTube now. Got a lot of following there. It's been really cool to see it grow. And it's honestly been really fun to create the community. So on top of that, we're now doing the America's Finest Sports stuff that I mentioned earlier, to do more than just Padres content for, you know, San Diego sports fans. So that's what we're rocking with moving forward. And we're all real excited about it.
Is there a website with the American Finest Sports?
Not yet, but there will be probably in a month or so.
Kind of the
next steps there.
That's good, because you want to be able to send people to it and have like a hub that sends them to the different podcasts and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
And you guys all grew up in the same area as well.
Yeah, we grew up in the Coachella Valley, and then some of us have been, like, we've all been kind of, like, on and off in San Diego, but then living in the Coachella Valley, we all went to the same schools growing up.
I'm still jealous of you living in New York City. I miss it so much.
That's where you grew up, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't grow up in the city itself. I grew up about 65 miles northwest of New York City in Orange County in Middletown, but close enough to the city. When I got old enough, you know, after puberty hit and I got ballsy, I would hop on the bus, and it only cost $15 at that time, you know, to hop on the bus to go down to Manhattan and hang out and run around. So I fell in love with the city when I was a teenager, and fortunately, when I was an adult, I was able to go back there for a while and live in New York City and Manhattan and Queens, and I even did a bit in Staten Island, so I had to take the ferry back and forth. Of course, this has nothing to do with baseball, does it? My kitty, Nikki, has woke up. You might hear her in the background as well. She might as well join in with the rest of the crowd out there. Hi, Nikki. There she goes. I've been trying to get her to talk on cue as much as possible. All right, I think we've talked about everything we could talk about with the draft and stuff. We'll touch base with you guys again after the trade deadline, and we see what we got and what's happening. And hopefully it'll be good news.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Firefield. Really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming on again, Matt, and give my best to the other guys.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
And since my kitty Nikki is insisting I come feed her because it's her supper time, we are out of time with the Friar Phil show. I hope you'll tune in next time and tell a friend about it. And I hope you stay well. And I hope you have a good trade deadline experience with the rest of us. All right, take care of yourself. Watch your backs and keep your eyes and your mind open. I'll see you next time.